You may all take your seats and you at home joining us across the world. It is awesome for you to have us on this youth night and just, you know, in the Word of God. You know, I gave my message a title, which I sometimes struggle to give, but it was an easy one. And it was a generation of demonstration. Because we, I include myself, I told Taylor my age today and she almost fell off her chair. We are a generation of demonstration. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, and they could not find them. I'll tell you who them was. So they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities shouting, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. And they have also come here. What Paul and Silas had done was simply preach the gospel. And as a result of preaching the gospel, they turned the world upside down. But it wasn't just Paul and Silas, because they said, these are them, which means they are a part of a larger group. Because when you read Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, Jesus says to them, you'll be endured with power. Everybody lift up your hands and say, I have been endured with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to understand something. That this encounter, this power that Jesus spoke about manifested in Acts chapter 2. And 3,000 people, 3,000, first sermon preached about the resurrection of Christ. 3,000 people came to the knowledge of Christ and got saved. 3,000. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a small group of people. It was 3,000 people who came to the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because they were a generation of demonstration. Because they stood before the people and began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And people wondered and marveled and said, what is going on? What does this mean? And you know what? Peter stood up and said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Are you that was prophesied by the prophet Joel? Are you? Stay with me. Do me a favor. Give me some attention. I want you to listen, not with your ear, but I want you to listen with your ear. Do you understand what I mean? I don't want you to listen with your ear. I want you to listen with your ear. You'll catch it just now. Ever wonder why we always tap the stomach? It's not because we want to pat the fat. It's because we speak of out of your belly, rivers of living. There is a place and a source at your core of who you... Okay, not the beyond guys. They don't understand belly fat. I'm sorry. You guys don't understand belly fat. Okay, so but the rest of us on this side, you know, you at home watching as well, maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about, belly fat, you know. But it's just the rest of us. Because at the core of who we are, there is a spirit of God. And we listen with spiritual ears. We have spiritual understanding. We see as the spirit sees, not as the eye sees. You see, this next generation is a generation of demonstration and power. I will prove it to you. In the book of Exodus, there was a man. Everybody say, there was a man. And his name was Moses. In Acts chapter 5, Moses didn't walk to Pharaoh and say, hey, listen, man, you know, if it's a good time, you know, maybe you can stop the lockdown in Goshen, you know. The mandate there in Goshen, maybe we can step away from it. No, he walked in and said, the Lord says, let my people go. He didn't ask. He instructed the most powerful man of the time. Let my people go. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. You see, what happened is every single time from the book of Exodus chapter 5, right through the 10 plagues, each time Pharaoh said no, God showed up and demonstrated who he has sent, because you are servants of power. Everybody lift up your hand and say, I am a servant of power. In Jesus' name. Come on. You'll catch it right now. But you might say, okay, that's awesome, that's great. But remember something in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was busy with the sheep and the flock. And then he had an encounter with a burning bush. The thing did not stop burning. Not only that, it spoke to him. I'm like, what the? A burning, talking bush. But you know what the interesting thing is about that bush? It says to Moses, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. How many of you have ever been walking, you know, like obviously I'm talking to people who sometimes have chores and things like that. How many of you have dogs? How many of you know what you have to do as part of your chores when you have a dog? Landmines, ne? How many of you have stepped on a landmine? Right? Landmine is what the dog leaves for you as a present. But let me ask you this question. When you step on that landmine and then you walk a distance, people can tell there's something that is about you that's a smell, is there not? Is it not true? So you step on that dog poop and you can tell there's something that's not right. So your feet, your shoes carry everywhere you have been. The bush said to him, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Leave behind where you have been, because where I'm sending you requires you to forget where you've been. Stay with me. Listen, we're going somewhere. So as we move on, we meet another man. His name is Paul once again. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, minding their own business, going to the place of prayer. You know when you're moving around, minding your own business, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go to church. I'm not going to trouble anybody. I just want to be chilled. I just want to be relaxed. Don't want to cause any trouble. And the Bible says that a slave girl with the spirit of divination, with the spirit of divination, she knew how to throw bones. Woo. Well, English is like what? Like my fifth language by now. I'm with Nile on this one. Tongues is number one. With the spirit of divination, she knew how to throw bones again. Hey. And to think, I need to go get my mother needs to go get my change at that school I went to. I'll mention by name now. Queen's College. with the spirit of divination. She was throwing bones. I got it right the third time. Right? You know someone who throws bones, ne? All of us know someone in our family who throws bones. And some of them are not real bones. They're metaphorical. It's not a race thing. It's a people thing. But anyway, minding their own business. They didn't waste time. They just turned around and said, get out. And the spirit left. I'll come to these guys, because are you ready to say get out and the spirit for it to leave? Are you ready for you to say get out and for it to leave? Are you ready? Are you ready for to say, exhale, just leave, just bounce? This is not your place. This is not where you're supposed to be. We had that power. Why? Because Paul had an encounter with Jesus. The encounter was so powerful, he had to change his name. Ooh, stay with me. We're going somewhere with this. And this is one of the most important parts I want to actually touch on right at the end in 1 Kings chapter 18. We've all heard the story. We all know the story about the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah and the Mount of Carmel. We like to call it the showdown. It's fight night. Elijah says, bring all 400 of them. Line them up one by one. I will clap them one by one. I will discipline them. One by one. You know what? Bring them three by three. I can take them. As a matter of fact, let all of them go together. He says, pick a bull. He says, you have first option. Pick a bull. Any bull. Do what you need to do. Cut it up. Get ready. Then he's like, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on holiday. Maybe he's watching TV. Maybe he was watching the Manchester United Liverpool game. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was watching Rassi Rasmus's video again. I don't know. But he was not showing up. He was a no-show. The Bible says this very interesting statement in verse 37. After all had taken place, Elijah says, "Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, that you have turned their hearts back." Before anything, Elijah rebuilt the altar. Do you know what an altar is? An altar is a place of encounter. An altar is a place of sacrifice. But not all altars are a place to encounter the Lord or to sacrifice to the Lord. Some of you in this place, you have backgrounds where altars have been built and things have been sacrificed on your behalf, and you wonder why you can't break through. Some of you in this place, by in the name of Jesus, I declare that in this house today, there are repairers and establishers of altars. Because some of you like me, which I discovered about 3 years ago, that my great, 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 great grandfather was an evangelist and a missionary, lost to the generations. I am a rebuilder and a repairer of an altar. And not just me. For some of you, your grandparents were praying people, but your parents weren't. You know, you always hear people say, you know, we just want to pray that your children get saved. I want to pray your parents get saved. Because some of you live in homes where you're the only one who prays, the only one who knows the word, the only one who spends time with the Lord. You are a repairer or an establisher of an altar of prayer and sacrifice. Because when God encountered Abraham, he built an altar. When Abraham wanted to encounter God, he would build an altar. He would establish a place of sacrifice. As a matter of fact, thank you, Jesus. Just before he was about to sacrifice Isaac, he built an altar. So you're sitting here today. You are a generation of demonstration. God has called you. He has set you apart. There's something about you that's different. For some of you today, you're going to walk out this place and you're not even going to recognize yourself. You're going to get home and your parents are going to be like, "Who are you? You look like my child, but you don't sound like my child. Who are you? What is your name?" It's going to be so bad. Your friends are not going to recognize you. It's going to be so bad. The enemy is going to say, "Ooh, okay, that one, we just have to be careful around." Because you are an establisher or a repairer of an altar. Every single person right now, stand to your feet. And I want you to declare this after me. Stand to your feet quickly, quickly, quickly. I don't want to waste any time. You know, there's precious time. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to declare. Now, you either fall into the establisher category or repairer category. Repairer, because you know there's been something in your family before and you are going to repair. Establisher, because you know there's never been anything in your family and you're about to establish. With every hand raised in this place, I want you to declare this after me. Say, "I am." Now you're going to say restorer or establisher in this place, in this part. A restorer or establisher of the altar in my family. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. I'm going to close off with this as I'm bringing this in for a landing. Your function is to be a carrier of something. That's why you're a restorer. That's why you're an establisher. That's why you're a demonstrator. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reason why. Some of you will be like, "Yeah, but you don't understand. The enemy's been on my case night and day. Things have just been happening." Let me ask you a question. Would anyone steal from you if you had nothing to steal? Any of you have been like approached by someone trying to mug you and you had nothing and they looked and they walked away? It don't ever happen that to you? Okay, you guys always have your phones on, so. But I've got friends it's happened to. And the guy just looked at him and said, "Oh, there's nothing there." Nothing can be stolen from if you got nothing. So if the enemy, in John 10:10, it says he comes to steal, kill, and... So if the enemy has come to steal from you, guess what? It means you've got something for him to steal. Why else would he come to you? If the enemy tries to kill you, it means he's got something that he wants to take out. If the enemy wants to destroy you, it means you are a carrier of something, and that's why he's coming after you. It is not a sign that you don't have a prayer life, or you know, it means there's something about you that the enemy wants to stop. There are nations and cities inside of you waiting, but the enemy wants to stop them. Now, for each and every single person in this place, you might be sitting here going, well, or even watching on television. You might be on social media or Faith Now. You know, I got to do all my plugs. You guys have got a job. You might be sitting in this place and you'll be like, but I hear what you're talking about. You know, Bande, I know what I hear what you're talking about. Like, seriously, I really do hear what you're talking about. But I can't identify. There's a reason for that. First and foremost, you have to know him. You have to know Jesus. To become a restorer, a repairer, an establisher, you have to know the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who died on the cross. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost just for a few moments. Kabro shekete. Kibra soko mashiki bra soko ba shekete. Mambro soko bi shambra sekete le koshaka. Mandele rebro shiki sabronda raba shekete tebo sakata. Bresto loko bra shekete. Mambra soko tele koshaka bra. There are some of you in this place. Continue to pray in the Spirit. There are some of you in this place and watching on television. You've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you once knew him, you loved him, you served him, but your love grew cold. You even were a demonstrator of the power of God. You've seen the hand of God move, not just around you, but through you. You've seen God use you in a mighty way. But circumstances have happened. Or you had a mighty encounter, but circumstances happened. I know, I've been there. I have been there. I know. And life happens and the enemy comes in and he thinks he's taking you out, but he doesn't know. You see, the word of the Lord declares in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. It says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our tongue that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Because when we confess with our mouth, we are saved. And when we believe in our heart, we are justified. You're like, Bande, but what does it mean to be justified? Because you're talking about salvation, you're talking about being saved, you're talking about being used by God, you're talking about being a demonstrator. I am completely unworthy of God. God could never use me. God could never call me. God could never see me and say, hey, Bande, listen, you are the one. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, that each and every single one of you have a purpose and a plan on this earth. With every eye closed and every head bowed, Romans chapter 5 verse 9 says, therefore, since we are now justified, meaning acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? Father, I thank you for each and every single person watching on television, watching on Facebook, watching on YouTube, watching on Faith Now, in this place, listening on Link FM, in this house, in the name of Jesus, that every single chain is broken off them now in Jesus' name. And Father, I declare that today, each and every single person under the sound of my voice, right now, will be ready to encounter you, Jesus. For your word declares that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. If you're in this house and you know, or you're watching on television and you know that you need to make right with God, don't mind who's next to you. Pay no mind who's next to you. I once had a dream. They say young men have visions and old men have dreams. I had a dream. I accept where I am. And in my dream, I stood before the Lord. Now, if you know me personally, I am an expert at arguing a point. Expert. I might say I even got a doctorate in the whole thing. I see heads nodding. I think of a reason and excuse like this with ease. It's just the natural thing. I'm a talker. It's my thing. But I stood before the Lord in this vision, in this dream. And the thought that I had a thought that said, you can't even think of something that would justify, because the Bible says that before him will be without excuse. That is so powerful. When you stand before him, it'll be so powerful that not a single reason you can give will justify why you didn't. And it's not just accepting him as Lord and Savior. It's not walking in the fullness of what he's called you to. Because a lot of you know that God has called you. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm still on this mission. Every head bowed. If you know that you need to make right with the Lord, if you know that you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for you in the comment section, I want you to put it in the comment section, but I want you to raise your hand while you're doing it. And for you in this auditorium, on the count of three, don't think about it, don't reason it, don't wait, just I want you to stand on the count of three. One, two, three, stand now. If you know you're going to make right with Jesus, come on, right there in Jesus' name. Begin to stand, begin to stand. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Stand now. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. For you at home right now, details are coming on the screen. Email us, whatnow@myfaithtv.com. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation with you. For you in the auditorium, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation with you. But I still feel in my heart there's someone not standing. Stand in Jesus' name. Stand now in Jesus' name. I speak to every single force that comes against you, that is trying to hold you back, to loose you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now in Jesus' name. Stand. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, fam. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We are fighting for lives here. Stand now in Jesus' name. Moshabra sekete. Moshebra sakata lalabo shakata. Makenderebo shakababa sekete. Bresta lalaba shekete. Marobro shekete. Thank you, Jesus. For every single person who's made that decision right at home, for every single person in the auditorium, I want to pray this prayer after me. Just repeat it after me. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your tongue. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and set me free. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for me on the cross. And now I'm saved because of that finished work. Because he rose on the third day and he's coming back for me again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want you to have an anticipation right now, even at home. Repeat that line and anticipate the power of God to touch you. Say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost and a hunger for the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for each and every single one of these, and may not a single one ever be lost, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want to take one more step. Please remain standing. There's a team around. They just want to give you something quickly, because we don't want to just pray with you and leave you. We want to pray with you and then be able to actually follow up and everything, even for you at home. whatnow@myfaithtv.com is the email address. whatnow@myfaithtv, or use info@thenxt.tv. info@thenxt.tv. info@thenxt.tv, and you can send an email. Then we can follow up and actually spend time with you and just contact you and, you know, take the next step is where you're going. And for each and every single person in this house, you know, and for you watching at home, you know there's another step and another level. You know, I don't want to go into another sermon message, but you know you've got to go to the other side with Jesus. You've got to go to the other side with Jesus. You know God's called you. You know God has called you. There's something that you need to do. You need to step out. You need to step out. You need to step out.